As believers in Christ, we have the person of the Holy Spirit to help guide us in every area of our lives. Let's start today's edition of CNV with this insight from Mike McIntosh.
But here's my goal and my prayer that it has been, as I've studied and prayed for you this week, is that the Lord would open your eyes today, some of you, and you would see the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And maybe you will see sometimes, I bet that was the Spirit. And you'll see that He's real, He's invisible. Yes, He is invisible, but He is very real, and He wants to work. Now, when we think of the Holy Spirit, a lot of times we think of miracle working power or power in general, and we forget the fact that He's gentle also, and that He brings things from God to you. So that's what you want to learn. You want to learn to hear His voice. You want to learn to feel His tug. You want to go left when He says go left, go right when He says go right. You want to stop when He says stop. And you want to back up if He says back up, and you want to go forward. And His voice is a small, still voice. But the more you get to know Him as a person, it's just cool.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank You, Lord Jesus.
The Holy Spirit can have a dramatic influence in our life when we yield ourselves to Him. As Mike has just mentioned, He may reveal Himself to us in ways we're not expecting. That's one of the exciting aspects to our relationship with God. At times, it can be small and gentle, or as powerful as a mighty rushing wind. Falling in love with the Holy Spirit is the title of this message from our series here on Chapter and Verse with our teacher Mike McIntosh. The Gospel of John is our text today as we turn to chapter 15. So now, let's join Mike for our study.
So we thank You for Your Spirit that is here with us. We thank You, God, that we can come out of the storms of life and gather with other people and just be refreshed, get our batteries recharged, and get a heavenly focus after a week of worldly focus. So we pray that Your Holy Spirit would come into this audience and begin moving in each individual heart. As we continue our study about the Holy Spirit, we know that only He can teach us. So we pray that He will unleash gifts to the body of Christ. He'll open eyes that people begin seeing things and finding answers to puzzles that they've had in their hearts for a long time. And they'll start hearing His soft, gentle, sweet voice. So we pray now that You would just be glorified by our gathering together in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated, and please turn to the 15th chapter of John. You know, if ever there was a time that we needed the Holy Spirit, it's definitely now. With all the shootings that happened this week around the country, and the law enforcement authorities are expecting more wild and crazy things happening, we need what Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. So this is part two of a series we're doing on falling in love with the Holy Spirit. And last week we saw that the Holy Spirit is the one that allows us to abide in Christ and bear forth spiritual fruit. And without Him, Jesus said, without the Lord in our lives, we can do nothing. So we don't want to be good for nothing. We want to be people that are producing fruit. And it's the Holy Spirit. Now, He's in the room right now. I have great confidence He's in the room. Every time I stand up to speak with you, I already know He's here. And He has a purpose. And we're going to look at the purpose of the Holy Spirit and where He comes from. But here's my goal and my prayer that it has been, as I've studied and prayed for you this week, is that the Lord would open your eyes today, some of you, and you would see the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And maybe you will see sometimes, I bet that was the Spirit. And you'll see that He's real, He's invisible. Yes, He is invisible, but He is very real, and He wants to work. Now, when we think of the Holy Spirit, a lot of times we think of miracle working power or power in general, and we forget the fact that He's gentle also, and that He brings things from God to you. So that's what you want to learn. You want to learn to hear His voice. You want to learn to feel His tug. You want to go left when He says go left, go right when He says go right. You want to stop when He says stop. And you want to back up if He says back up, and you want to go forward. And His voice is a small, still voice. But the more you get to know Him as a person, it's just cool. I've seen Him at times work where it's like a light comes on. And the light is just shining in a room, and it's picking things out. And it's like your gift is able to go help somebody out of a large crowd, maybe just one person. Or you can hear things that other people aren't hearing, and you're able to make decisions. So as we look at his purpose today, you can start underlining and circling in your Bible and take these home with you, and then start looking at the things that phone call. That was weird. That was really weird. Well, maybe it wasn't really weird. Did you hear that on the television set? I was driving down the freeway one time from San Diego to Lancaster, California. And I was going to school. I was working on a master's degree. And so I'd do three services on Sunday, 7 o'clock in the morning, drive all the way out to Skyline Wesleyan, where an extension of Azusa Pacific University's graduate school was. I'd start at 8, end at noon, and then drive all the way to Lancaster and get there by 3:30 or 4. The class there started at 5 and went till 9 at night. And I was trying to get as many units as I could so I could get through my graduate studies really quickly. And I was taking like 18 units or something. So I would spend 3 days out of the week, 2.5 days, just at school. Then I'd leave there and I'd drive from at 9 o'clock at night to Azusa, get a $24 a night hotel room, wake up at 7 and study till noon, and then I'd go to class at 1 till 5. And then I'd drive back to San Diego, and then I'd do everything I do here. And there was a man that was hostage in Beirut. And he happened to be a Christian man, very well-known man, that was taken by some quote-unquote terrorists. And I had some friends that they knew me, but I didn't know them. And they called me and said, "You helped in other situations. Would you help get this man released?" And I said, "Absolutely not." They said, "No, you've got to help. You're a Christian, and you've helped other people get out of the Soviet Union and places." And I said, "No, I don't like that stuff. It's scary. It's spooky. And no, thank you." So I'm driving along, and in my mind, because I have a weird mind, I started thinking, what would be a Christian commando deal if I were going to get into Beirut and find the house and get in there and snatch this guy and run? And so I was just trying to kill time in my head. So I came up with this whole plan, and I got to Santa Ana. And just then I thought, that's strange. Why am I've wasted an hour and a half of thinking of this commando, get this guy out. On the radio, KNX, CBS, there was an article about an Israeli helicopter that was shot down. The two pilots were being held captive. And the announcer says, they are looking for a third party that is neutral to negotiate the release of these two pilots. And I thought, that's strange. First thing I thought was, that's strange. They wouldn't make that public news. And besides that, there's hundreds of neutral negotiators that can be called on. It'd be secret. You wouldn't even know who they were or what they were doing. That's strange. I'm driving along, and it says, the radio says, and they are looking for a special negotiator, independent, neutral person to negotiate. And I said, what? I actually looked in the radio and said, what? You don't say these things in public. So I said, God, is this you? And I pulled off the road, went into a coffee shop, got a legal pad out and said, if this were God, bang, 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 bang. And I did a page of 30-some things that would have to line up to know that it was God. Well, after meeting with the Syrians and meeting with the Israelis and meeting with the French and meeting with the Vatican and meeting with da-da-da-da-da and traveling around the world, it, I think the Holy Spirit spoke. Well, the guy did get out on a Sunday morning. I drove into the parking lot and the same radio station said, hostage so-and-so was mysteriously released this morning. Now, I didn't release him, but I was part of the international team that didn't even know each other that was out doing something. I want you to be able to turn on the radio and hear the Lord. It's a fun thing. It really is. And I got an A in that class, by the way. Chapter 15. We're going to look at verse 26, and then we're going to look at chapter 16, verse 7 and 5. So let's look at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning. So I'd like you to underline a couple of things here. I will send, underline this is important, from the Father, and the Spirit of truth. And his name, you can circle, Comforter, the Comforter. I think that's very important for us. Now let's go to the next chapter, the 16th chapter, and let's look at verse 7. In chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you, this is Jesus speaking, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And all things that the Father has sent, that the Father has, are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. Again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. In our first lesson, we looked at the power of the Holy Spirit to help us abide in Jesus Christ. And that's why you struggle and I struggle with our own problems and our own issues, but we struggle when we hear somebody say they're a Christian, and then they live so horribly, and you say, how could that person truly be a Christian? Well, because they're not abiding in him. And there's only one way we can abide in him, and that's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives us the ability to even be a Christian. We can't be a Christian. We can't work at being a Christian. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations that I'm doing all these, therefore I'm a Christian. It's his Spirit within us. So in this lesson, we wish to understand his power and the person of the Holy Spirit. He's a real person. In light of his mission and purpose, and Jesus gave us his mission and his purpose. And according to Jesus, this person called the Holy Spirit is sent to us with purpose and reason and can give us purpose and reason. Now, I like what he said, first of all, in verse 26 of the 15th chapter, that he called him the Comforter. I think that's great, the Comforter, because it's a very key word, and it's a word that has stuck with me all my Christian walk, that it forces me to lean on him. And if ever there was a time that we needed a Comforter in our country, it is right now, without a doubt, it's right now. If ever there was a time in finances, in future planning for your medical health or your retirement, or what the future holds, boy, it's a Comforter right now. If ever there was a time, and I thank the Lord that my time has passed, to raise teenagers, boy, you need a Comforter. If there's ever a time to be a teenager, you teenagers need a Comforter, to say the least. You need someone that'll come along and encourage you and lift you up and strengthen you. Now, we can make all sorts of mistakes, and if people beat us up because of those mistakes, there's no way that we'll ever recover probably properly. But if people love us and care for us, those mistakes can be turned into something good to make us stronger and healthier people. They're big mistakes, little mistakes. I was reading earlier this week some church magazine with these mistakes that a secretary or whoever volunteers in their church to do the bulletin. You know, it's if you have a congregation and it's really small and you just misspell a word or you juxtapose a word and it's wrong, you know, everybody knows you and who you are. If it's a large church, then more people say, well, there's a adult somewhere hanging out and can't spell or whatever. And I thought there's two or three here that, boy, if this person ever needed, these people that did their bulletins ever needed a Comforter. One announcement in a Sunday bulletin was, low self-esteem support group will meet Thursdays at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. Or this one, at the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. You know, wouldn't you feel kind of out of it a little bit, if that was you, and everybody knew you're the one that wrote that. Or I like this one. Bertha Belch, a missionary from South Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Methodist. Come hear Bertha Belch all the way from South Africa. That'd be a little embarrassing, you know. Definitely need a comforter. So verse 26 is a verse that you want to memorize. It'll help you in all sorts of situations. But when the comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now the word starts out, that verse starts out with the word but. But refers back to verse 18, all the way to 25. So verse 18 to 25 has a solution to it. It's verse 26. So if we looked at verse 18, we would very quickly see how important this is that the Comforter is going to come. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. And he that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no other man had done, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. They hate God, haters of God. But this comes to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause, without a reason. They hated him. But when the Comforter has come, so there's the solution to this hate, this anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-God doctrine that is out there. It's right there. The but is the Comforter has come. And Jesus is going to send him to us. The Comforter. This is very important for all of us both to know and to understand the thought of the Comforter. The first mention here in John's Gospel is the Comforter. It's not the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He doesn't call him the miracle worker, the one with all the power. He calls him the Comforter. And this is something we all need, a Comforter. We need somebody that can comfort us in the deepest areas of our souls that people can't see. There are areas that you haven't ventured into for a long time, and only God's Spirit can comfort those areas and release you from those areas. Now, the word is a very important word. And when I was a brand new Christian, I thought that's a novel word. The word in the original language is parakletos or paraclete. I always think of some shoes with the paracletes on them. And I've always memorized that, paracletes. And when I'm in need of some help from the Holy Ghost, I think paraclete, yes, comforter, you're going to comfort me. I need comfort right now. I'm down, Lord, please, paraclete. And a paraclete means summoned, called to one side, especially called to one's aid. Here comes his mission to you. He's called to your side. He's not going to grab you by the shirt and tug you. He's not going to force you to do what is right and be good. He comes alongside you and helps you to be the person that you can't be. He's going to aid you in every situation you can ever imagine. Holy Spirit, I need your assistance right now. So that's what their word paraclete or parakletos meant, summoned. So he called, come here, help, come beside. Also means one who pleads another's cause before a judge, a pleader, the counsel for the defense, the legal assistant, or an advocate. So this is why you and I don't need to defend ourselves, right or wrong. Would you plead to the Father on my behalf? He stops what's going on and intercedes in the spiritual realm for you. Boy, you need somebody like that. Because we've been trained, we got to fight back. But Jesus said, no, you turn your cheek. You walk the extra mile. Want your shirt? Give him your cloak also. It's our nature to have to defend ourselves and to speak up for ourselves. But it's the spiritual side of us that says, I need an advocate with the Father. And the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus, and Jesus is my great intercessor. and he will be my advocate, but the Spirit is going to plead the cause. One who pleads another cause with one, he's an intercessor. Now you have a power available to you that is silent, that nobody else can see. And you may be negotiating over the biggest business deal in town. You may be trying to see if the doctor has the ability to perform what needs to be done with your loved one. But the Holy Spirit is there, and you can just rely that he's going to get the best job done for you in every situation. And to be able to call on him and say, give me peace. Give me understanding. Give me wisdom. Give me insight. To go beyond your human nature, to be able to let heaven really interact in your life, is something that only God can do through you. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to shove at it. You don't have to be Miss Goody Two-Shoes. You don't have to be the Christian man, because you can. And that's why so many people get frustrated. They think they've signed up for a religion. No, it's your eternal relationship. It's just preparation for the day you leave this body and go to heaven. And you just step out of this into the next one. It's just another scene. But you're going to be the same person because you've been growing in the Lord. How wonderful to know that he's here right now, and some of you suffer physically. But to know that God is working on your behalf in the midst of this. Some of you emotionally are really struggling with family issues and family problems, and they're overwearing on you and overbearing on you. They're pushing you down, and you just don't know what to say or what to do. Well, that's where he does the best work. It's when we come to the end of ourselves that God has given us his Spirit to go beyond what we can go beyond. And the sooner we quit struggling with him, the quicker this comforter can come in and do his job. So this paraclete, I always like to think, you know, a little tap dancing. Just a paraclete, got a paraclete. And, oh, the Holy Spirit, I need him. And so in the widest sense, this word means a helper, an aider, or an assistant. He's not pushing on you. He wants to assist you to prosper and to have a happy life. Now, I wanted to point out four more things here in that verse. Number one, Jesus sends the comforter. He's the one that sends him. Number two, Jesus sends him from the Father. The Father releases him, but the Spirit comes because Jesus sent him. Number three, look what he said there. He is the Spirit of truth. Now, don't you find that interesting? Because we saw in the 14th chapter that Jesus said, I am the truth. But the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth, which means we can't be Jesus, but the Spirit of Jesus, who is truth in us, now becomes the Spirit of truth that flows from us. Now, truth, I think, is a two-way street. We may have learned in philosophy class or some course or just in talking with mom and dad when we're little and we get spanked for lying, for instance, that truth is a two-way street, not a one-way street. We think that I'm going to tell the truth or I'm going to lie. But truth, when it goes out from your life, I think turns on that light that you can see if the other side is being truthful. Truth is powerful. I think it just fills up everything around you, and you can see, we don't need to do this. Why not? I don't know. I just feel inside myself that there's a problem here. And that's a great time to say, Holy Spirit, is this you? Yeah, because his interests for you are God's interests. He doesn't want you to fail. He doesn't want you to make a bad mistake. He is willing to intercede at any time in your life and to help you do what needs to be done and what is necessary for you. So he is the Spirit of truth. You may want to underline that. And it's that Spirit that is in you that brings the truth. That's when bells go off and flags wave, when you know that somebody's not telling you the truth. And that's why when you're involved in situations, you just say, this is not right. Because truth says that wisdom from above is first peaceable. If this is really from God and it's true, why do I not feel peace? And then it's pure. It's not foggy. It's not questionable. What's really going on? And then it's gentle. And then it's easy to be entreated. Somebody's not pushing on you. Boy, if you don't get it done in the next 6 hours, you lose the deal. That's the time to back away from the deal. Because he doesn't push. He doesn't shove. There's not one scripture in the Bible that shows Jesus running to his next meeting. He's just casually walking along and showing up where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh as he leads us through a study from John's Gospel looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. On our next broadcast, falling in love with the Holy Spirit will once again be our subject. If you're looking for further resources from Pastor Mike, such as books and MP3s of his messages, you can find them all at mikemcintosh.com. Be sure to set a favorite on your browser to MikeMacIntosh.com. Let me close today by thanking those of you who helped make this radio outreach possible through your prayers and financial support. Please write to us at Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, to give your financial support, drop us a line at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacIntosh.com. I invite you to join us again when we'll continue our lesson on falling in love with the Holy Spirit with Mike McIntosh on CNV. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.